From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Boston, this is Living on Earth. I'm Steve Curwood. At the beginning of May this year, the Santa Ana winds whipped Southern California into the fire season 6 months earlier than usual, with thousands of homes threatened just north of Los Angeles. As firefighters battled the blazes, it might have seemed the U.S. was in for another record year of wildfires. But in fact, so far this year, America's seen the least number of wildfires in a decade. And while the decade is the hottest on record, the rate of average temperature rise has actually slowed. So what's going on? To sort all this out, we turn to Kevin Trenberth, senior scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder, Colorado. Welcome to Living on Earth.
I'm glad to be here, Steve.
So last year, the Mississippi was so dry, barges couldn't float. But this year, there are record floods along the Mississippi. How do you explain this?
This is not unusual these days. You know, the climate overall is changing because of human influences, but we still have seasons, we still have weather. When the weather actually happens, what we're seeing is that it tends to be a bit more extreme than it used to. We get stronger heat waves, a greater risk of drought and wildfire. And then on the other side of the coin, when it does rain, it pours.
I believe you call this weather whiplash?
That's one of the phenomena, or even climate whiplash, where there's a big change from one month to another, or especially one year to another. And we've seen that in spades over the last two or three years in the United States. In 2011, Texas was the driest on record. At the same time, it was extraordinarily wet from Missouri up through the Ohio River Valley to New England, the wettest year on record. And then, and that was a time when the Mississippi was in flood. 2012 was the dryness extended across the whole nation for the whole year, the hottest year on record for the United States by far. And you know, now it's tended to turn around again. The changes have been even more dramatic in other parts of the world, especially in places like Australia, where they've gone from prolonged drought to record flooding, and then back to record-breaking heat and wildfires their past summer, this January, extending all the way down to Tasmania. And so we're seeing this also in Europe and Asia as well. And so this seems to be one of the characteristics of the weather patterns these days.
So I hear that the Atlantic is warmer than usual this year. Could that make for more superstorms like Sandy?
It can certainly make for more vigorous tropical storms and an active hurricane season. Sandy, of course, became a hybrid storm and was started off as a hurricane, but was a very special kind of storm that is relatively rare. As the hurricane moved north, it developed extratropical characteristics and emerged with what was originally a snowstorm back in the Colorado Rockies, and developed into a storm that's double the size of a normal hurricane.
We're now at a record 400 parts per million of CO2. That's the most pervasive global warming gas related to human activity. But what about these numbers, Kevin Trenberth, that show that the rate of global warming seems to be slowing? Average temperatures in the atmosphere, at least, aren't rising as fast as they were.
Well, firstly, from the standpoint of carbon dioxide, the rate of increase of carbon dioxide has not slowed in spite of things like the Kyoto Protocol. And so carbon dioxide continues to rise. And if we look at then where the extra energy that is available as a consequence of these increases in these heat-trapping gases in the atmosphere, then what is showing up in the last decade is that while the 2000s are the warmest decade on record, the rate of increase has not been as great because a lot more heat seems to be going into the ocean. And so more heat is being carried down by changes in the ocean currents into deeper parts of the ocean. So the planet is still warming. It's being manifested in different ways. And this varies over time, largely, as far as we can tell, for natural reasons. It can stay this way for a decade or maybe even two decades. But when it gets out of that particular pattern, suddenly there can be really large jumps in the global mean surface temperature, and global warming comes back in a way that really affects us right at the surface here rather than deeper in the ocean.
So, in other words, when the Earth has done this phase of putting the extra energy into the oceans, we might see kind of a sudden snap in the surface temperatures where we are.
We can certainly see that, and there have been a number of instances like that. There's been at least three examples of that during the last 40 years, which has been the main time when global warming has really kicked in.
Kevin Trenberth, from where you stand there at the National Center for Atmospheric Research, what do you see for the U.S. in terms of weather going ahead from now, this year, or perhaps longer?
The main risk is that there will be a really active hurricane season in the Atlantic. And of course, as time goes on, the risk of one or more of those making landfall and causing damage is real. So in 2011, we had tropical storm or Hurricane Irene that went all the way up into Vermont and caused widespread flooding. Last year, Superstorm Sandy. And, you know, the odds are we may get one of those, perhaps another one in the same general category. I suspect that there will be some other place around the world which will be a real hotspot. 2010, it was the Russian heat wave, and we've had alternating hotspots in Australia and the United States. This year, perhaps it's the United States' turn not to be in the eye of all of this really extreme weather as much as it has been in the past two, perhaps.
Kevin Trenberth is a senior scientist at the National Center for Atmospheric Research in Boulder. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You're most welcome.